couple years back, I get a phone call. From a pastor, I used to live on Rainbow Road. It's off Meadow Lake Drive and not far from Meadow Lake Baptist Church, the big white church there on the corner of Meadow Lake and Donaghy. And me and my wife would make regular walking trips, and we'd walk to the end of the sidewalk there to the church and back. And one day I get a phone call from a pastor of Meadow Lake Baptist Church. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the world is the pastor of Meadow Lake Baptist Church calling me? You got to put this in context. At that time, we were meeting in a mobile home, about 20 people, size of our congregation. And so I know we're low in numbers today, but this is still fairly large in my estimation. And so here we are, just a small handful of people, and we're meeting out in the middle of the woods. No one knows who we are, and those who do know us don't like us. And the pastor of Meadow Lake calls me, and I don't know. I thought, what did I do wrong? What's this all about? And he says, Jeff, I've been told to get a hold of you. Are you Jeff Johnson, pastor? Yes, yes. He says, the Lord's converted me, and I'm told to get a hold of you. And so we met for lunch, and we've been good friends ever since. And it's been a privilege to have Brother Tommy and his family as members of our church. We were looking, many of you know, we were looking at ordaining Brother Tommy as a elder into our church. He pastored many, many years, and the Lord did, after pastoring many years, the Lord did save him. And but his desire to preach was still present upon him. His gifting was evident to us at Grace Bible Church. And today, it is our privilege to, as he is being taking this call into the ministry, is our privilege to ordain him. I believe that pastors, preachers should be ordained of God. They are, should be ordained. Those who are called of God should be recognized by a local church. And it is our privilege to have his ordination service today. My privilege to be able to preach his ordination sermon. And for us to send him with our approval to this ministry that he's taking. And we'll pray that the Lord will bless his ministry, make it fruitful, most importantly, as we'll look at this morning from 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. We'll pray that Brother Tommy will be able to faithfully preach the Word of God. 2 Timothy 4, starting with verse 1. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Charles Spurgeon says, may I beg of you carefully to judge every preacher, not by his gifts, not by his oratory skills, not by the status in society, not by the respectability of the congregation, not by the prettiness of his church, but by this. Does he preach the word of truth? Paul is instructing Timothy, young Timothy, and the one central thing he's instructing him, and he's putting the emphasis here, preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the truth. We're going to look quickly at four reasons, Tommy, why you must preach the word of God. Four reasons why you must preach the word of God. And we have many preachers in this congregation, many young preachers. And this applies to you as well. Preach the word. Four reasons why Paul is telling Timothy to preach the word. Four reasons why we must preach the word. Reason number one, we must preach the word because you have been charged by God. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. Being charged by God to preach the word, you stand in the presence of God. Charles Spurgeon says the true ambassador for Christ feels that he himself stands before God and has to deal with souls in God's place as God's servant. This charge that Paul is giving Timothy was taking place in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. A charge is a responsibility being verbally commissioned. In this case, it is taking place before God himself. And I want you to think about the seriousness of this charge. In one sense, all of our callings are sacred. If you're a homemaker, housewife, if you're a carpenter, or if you're a farmer, or whatever your calling is, all of this is to be done for the glory of God. And we stand before God in our daily lives. So in all that we do, we're to do for the glory of God. But this calling is from God itself. The calling into the ministry is that which God calls, and it takes place in a special way in the presence of God. You represent Him as His ambassador, as His messenger. All you are is one who carries a message. You don't carry your own message. You carry the message of God. And don't think God's not watching. And when you're preaching before Christ. Although Christ is not visibly present, He is there. He is present and watching and taking note of how well we represent Him. Are we faithful to discharge the calling that has been placed upon us? Being charged by God to preach the word, you will be held accountable by God. Look on at verse 1. Who will judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom. Paul is putting the seriousness to this charge by reminding young Timothy that one day you're going to be held accountable for how you execute this calling. James 3:1 tells us, not many of you should become teachers. I mean, we're living in a day that it seems like sometimes everybody wants to be a pastor. Everybody wants to be a teacher. Sign me up. But James says, there's not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. For you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. We'll be judged more strictly. We'll incur a stricter judgment, one translation says. Another translation says, we shall receive the greater condemnation. We will be judged more severely than others. If you become a pastor or a teacher, know this. You're going to be held to a greater accountability by God. He's going to hold you to a stricter judgment. Tommy, People will judge your ministry by looking at various things. They will judge you by your gifts. They will judge you by your charisma. They will judge you by the size of your congregation. They will judge you on how fast your church grows. They'll judge you by the size and the value of your building. But know that God doesn't care about any of these things. You will not be held accountable by God by any of these standards. Man may look at you this way, but God is the one you answer to. You don't work for man, you work for God. And He will hold you accountable. You are His ambassador. You are a steward of the truth. And God will hold you accountable to how well and accurate you preach the Word. Do you preach the Word? That's what matters in the eyes of God. Preach the Word because you stand before God and will be held accountable by Him. That's my first point. Number two, you must preach the Word because the Word of God is what changes lives. There at the beginning of verse 2, here's the thesis of this charge. Preach the Word. Preach. The word preach means to make a public proclamation. It means to herald out. It refers to proclaiming the truth as the authoritative and binding as the Word of God, bringing eternal accountability to all who hear it. One person described preaching as divinely authorized proclamation of the message of God to man. Preaching, if indeed we preach God's Word, is by its very nature authoritative. Preaching is authoritative. It demands faith and obedience. Titus 2:15, declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. True preaching is authoritative. It comes with the authority of God because it's God's Word. It's binding. It holds all who hear it accountable. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, you have no authority. If you have no authority, you cannot speak well. So, biblical preaching is authoritative. Biblical preaching is binding. Because it puts eternal consequences upon all those who hear it. If you hear the Word of God preached, at that point on, you're eternally going to be held accountable for what has been taught and what has been preached. Also, preaching is powerful. Paul told us that he's not ashamed of the gospel, for in it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Romans 1:16. You see, true preaching is authoritative. It's binding, it's powerful, because true preaching is that which God has chosen to change people's lives. Preaching, God's Word, changes lives. It has eternal consequences. Preaching should be done, therefore, boldly and unashamedly. The Scottish preacher Horatius Bonar said, bold preaching is the only preaching that is owned of God. When you preach with the authority of God. You can be timid yourself because your authority, it doesn't lie in your stature. It doesn't lie in your booming voice. It doesn't lie in any personal qualities. The authority you have when you preach the Word of God is the Bible itself. And there's no difference between God's Word and God Himself. Preach the word, Paul says. Preach the word. Steve Lawson says it matters to God what is preached, and it matters to Him how it is preached. No man is free to preach whatever and however he chooses. The authority and power of preaching does not exist within the man or even within his gifts. The authority exists in the Word of God itself. The pulpit is not a place of speculation. It's not a place to theorize. It's a place where the Word of God is to be heralded out and proclaimed clearly. As biblical preaching is the proper explanation and application of the Word of God, it is authoritative. He says, preach the word. And he says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Some say this means be ready on Sunday morning, and it also means being ready on Monday morning. That might be true, but I think it rather means this. Preach when people want to hear you, when preaching is fashionable. Preach when people are ready to hear you, when people like to hear you. Preach when you know people are going to appreciate you. Preach when you know people are going to say, I'm so glad you labored in the Word of God this week. Preach when you know people are going to love it. But also preach when you know when people are not going to receive it, when people are going to reject it. Be ready to preach when people want to hear you, and be ready to preach when people don't want to hear you. Be ready to preach in all seasons of life, in all circumstances, in season and out of season. For it is by the Word of God that changes lives. It goes on to say, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. This is the nature of preaching, that you can actually, behind the pulpit with the Word of God, reprove people, rebuke people, and exhort people. See, the Word of God is authoritative and powerful. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and the marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. This is the nature of the Word of God. When we hear the Word of God proclaimed, it penetrates into our soul. It penetrates into our conscience. And it's convicting because the Word of God is true. It's not you. Who reproves, who rebukes, and who exhorts. It's not you, Tommy. It's the Word of God that reproves, that rebukes, and exhorts. You're just the mouthpiece of God. It's not your word. You're just a messenger. And if you properly speak and proclaim and preach God's word, then God's word will, by its very nature, reprove, convict people of their sins. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scriptures is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, and for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This is the nature of the Word of God. It is given that we might correct our lives. And it, when we hear God's Word, it cuts away at the sin in our life and exposes us for who we are. The word reprove means to convict or to bring forth conviction in the heart. The Word of God brings conviction because it exposes the truth about ourselves. Charles Spurgeon says, little is that ministry worth which never chides you. It also rebukes and exhorts and admonishes. It tears down and then it builds up. it humbles, and then the Word of God edifies. This was why you must preach the Word, because that is where the power lays. But he tells us to be patient. Preach the Word with complete patience and teaching. Preach the Word in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. 2 Timothy 2:24, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. The third reason, Tommy, you must preach the Word. You must preach the Word because people do not want the Word. We see in verse 3, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. And apparently, we're living in that time. We've come to the time in church history that people just do not want sound doctrine. In fact, believe it or not, the word sound doctrine is a word that people in and of itself, they do not want to hear. They don't want to hear the word doctrine. Like the word doctrine is an evil word or divisive word. We're not about doctrine here. We're about love. This comes where people do not want doctrine. They do not want sound doctrine. How many people would disagree with this statement by Martin Lloyd-Jones? Martin Lloyd-Jones says, the primary task of the church and of the Christian minister is preaching of the Word of God. That's the primary task of the Christian church. How many people think, okay, the primary task of the church is the pulpit ministry? We'd get pushback, would we not? No, well, that's one of the tasks. Well, that may be one of the more important tasks, but that's not the most important task. Preaching is fallen down on a low, low view. People have such a low, low view of preaching and the importance of preaching. Who judges a church on its pulpit ministry anymore? I'm not talking about the preacher's gifts or speaking abilities or his charisma. I'm talking about how faithful does he exposit the Word of God. When people look for a church, they place all kinds of things at the top of the list. Children's ministry, active youth group, style of music. Almost anything under the sun will become a priority for people. But sound doctrine and preaching the Word of God, that's not even hardly considered anymore. The main reason for the switch of focus is people no longer can endure sound teaching. They just cannot endure it. They can't handle it. You remember when Stephen was being stoned and he was preaching the truth to them and it was bringing forth such conviction that they put their hands, the people that were stoning Stephen, they put their hands over their ears because they can't endure hearing what he was preaching and they were stoning him. They just could not listen. And that's the age in which we live in. People simply have no ear for the preaching of the Word of God anymore. People have itching ears. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers. Ever had an itch that you just can't leave alone? You have something, it's just got to scratch it. Well, people have ears that itch. ears that want to hear something. They want to hear something. They want to hear something smooth and pleasant. We all have a natural tendency, we all do, to hear good things about ourselves. It's human nature for us to hear pleasant things, particularly about ourselves. It's pleasant. In fact, I had a friend, in fact, my old roommate, one of the nicest guys I ever met. He got killed in a car wreck. But everybody was his friend. I asked him, why is everybody your friend? How are you so friendly? What's your secret? Why does this happen? He goes, well, everybody likes talking about themselves. So when I meet people, I talk about them. It's true. It's true. People naturally want to hear good things about themselves. They have itching ears. It's an itch that itch. The ears that itch, and they want this to be scratched. And so they go looking for someone to scratch that itch, someone to fulfill what their ears want to hear. So they accumulate to themselves teachers. They look for teachers that will scratch their ears. They will look for teachers that will give them what they want to hear. I can't hear sound doctrine. I don't want to hear sound doctrine, but I do want to hear how good I am and how much God loves me and how much God's behind my mission and how He's going to fulfill my dreams. How God is there to help me. This is the message people want to hear. The reason we have such watered-down preaching in today's pulpit is because this is what is demanded by so many churches. Jeremiah 5:31, the prophets prophesy falsely, and my people love to have it so. The problem is not false teachers. The problem is not that you just have lukewarm preachers. That's not the problem. The problem is people want that. It's the people who find these teachers. It's the people who demand such teachers. It's the people who require such preachers. The preachers exist because the people demand them to exist. I read a study on why Hollywood hardly puts out any clean comedies anymore. And it's the fact, it's not because Hollywood is just trying to be filthy, just to be filthy. But they do research behind their movies. And R-rated movies that get the R-rated will gross more at the box office than movies that do not have the rated R. And so Hollywood, in the business of making money, just gives our culture, gives the people what they want. Listen, we wouldn't have such filth on television if people weren't watching it. And we can blame Hollywood. No. It's Conway citizens. They're eating it up. They're craving it. They want it. So we can point our fingers all day long at our Joe Osteens. No. It's all these people that demand Joe Osteen. In the same way, if you want to grow a church the fastest, then preach just enough truth to pacify the religious ears and tell them what they really want to hear. Just give them a little bit of truth, a little bit of conviction. But tell them it's all about them. You see, people are self-focused. It goes on to say, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. they want the teacher to tell them what they want to hear that is suitable to their own desires. People want life lessons on how to live their best life now. How to stay positive. 7 keys to overcoming our giants. How to feel good about ourselves. How to build self-esteem. The reasons our dreams, are from God, and the reason these dreams will come true. Look at verse 4 with me. And we'll turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Once a person turns away from listening to the truth, he opens himself up to all kinds of errors and myths. Yet, Tommy, you must preach the truth, preach the Word of God, for it's the Word of God alone that is able to combat this from happening. We all would tend to stray away from the truth if we're not constantly, regularly hearing the Word of God being proclaimed to us, keeping us close to God and His purposes. So preach the Word of God. Preach the Word of God when people don't even want to hear the Word of God. Preach the Word of God until people love to hear the Word of God. Preach the Word. Be in season and out of season. Fourthly, you must preach the Word because it is a vital part of fulfilling your ministry. Look at verse 5. As for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering, do the work of evangelists, fulfill your ministry. Along with preaching the Word, always be sober-minded. Be willing to endure suffering, especially endure suffering for the sake of Christ. Know that, Tommy, preaching the Word of God is not always convenient. It's not always the easy thing to do. In fact, most often, it can be the hardest thing to do. But when times of pressure come, remember you stand before God. And you'll be held accountable to Him. And not before man. Be willing to endure suffering if need be. Do the work of an evangelist. Be willing and ready to preach the Word of God in the church and outside the church. To Christians and to lost people alike. In these things, you will fulfill your ministry. That means you'll carry out your calling. This is a charge that Paul was putting upon Timothy. The essence of this charge is to preach the Word of God. And if you do these things, you'll fulfill your ministry. You'll fulfill your calling, your purpose. So in conclusion, for these four reasons, you are to preach the Word. You've been charged by God, because the Word is what changes lives. 3, because people often do not want to hear it. And 4, because in doing so, you will fulfill your ministry.